The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio, or its employees, or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire.
Good day. Your mighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge: a glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me." Today my message is the essence of my message regarding creation. An overview of the message: we will note that there is considerable debate regarding creation and that I set out to prove existence of the creation based on observable information. It is asserted that engineering proves there is a creator. It is proposed that nature proves that there is a creator. It is further asserted that the human body proves there is a creator, and then it is suggested that the periodic table of the elements proves there is a creator. It is further asserted that air and water proves there is a creator, and it is further suggested that the diversity of foods proves there is a creator. It is also suggested that the existence of domestic animals proves that there is a creator, and that planet Earth and the universe prove there is a creator. It is stated that sexual reproduction proves there is a creator, as does sexual lovemaking. It is asserted that the existence of the clitoris proves there is a creator. Then I will advise you to seek a deep personal relationship with Yah, the Creator. And finally, we will examine the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering, and I'm a strategic management consultant. I have over 28 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty, following a dramatic encounter with Him on the 12th of March 1993, when He spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that He was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13, and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy of the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair which, when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me and I realized that my intellect had got me into a right mess and chose to serve Him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's End Time Issue Ministries, one word, for more information. In particular, please see the compendium of important articles at the top of the menu that lists articles in a logical sequence relative to a typical journey with YAH. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's Relationship with Creator Radio, one word, .com, the show at the top menu, and the drop-down podcasts for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for the text Relationship with Creator Radio. Right, starting my message, the essence of my message regarding creation. Please see the article of the same name on the website for copy with images. There's considerable debate regarding creation versus evolution, and erudite broadcasts that present the arguments for and against in detail, but generally using points that are difficult to understand and difficult to prove. Many years ago, I got into an argument with the editor of the History Channel on TV about the reality of creation. I went down the road of quoting people I considered authoritative and quoting the Bible, and he responded that he regarded my authorities as charlatans and the Bible as irrelevant, and that left me high and dry. I then decided that I would see if I could prove creation based on my personal observations, things I could personally vouch for. So in 2004, I wrote an e-book, Creation versus Evolution, What is the Origin and Purpose of Man?, in which I mostly achieved my objective. This book is on the website under the Creation page. Since then, I've done a lot more thinking and a lot more observing, and this broadcast summarizes the essence of my conclusions through this journey. I want to start off by asserting that engineering proves there's a creator. We live in a technically complex and sophisticated world. We are surrounded by engineering structures of great sophistication and complexity. If you have any knowledge of how these systems and structures are created, you will know that they take thousands of hours of time by highly qualified engineers and a wide diversity of highly qualified specialist disciplines to conceptualize, design, build, and operate. They do not come into existence by some random, quote, evolutionary process. They come into existence through a highly structured and highly systematic engineering design, construct, and operate process with large numbers of highly skilled professionals. I suggest for your consideration that this universe, this planet, the plants, animals, and human beings required an even more sophisticated design, construct, and operate process that even the most advanced human engineered structures and systems. And therefore, I assert that there has to have been a creative agency, that is, a supernatural creator who brought this all into existence. Folks, this is a really, really important point. The human body is massively, massively sophisticated, massively complex. It contains so many discrete elements, each one of which is amazing in terms of its complexity. Look at the eye, look at the brain, look at look at your hands as examples of things, and they all work perfectly together. And all the organs that we can't see, the heart and the liver and the kidneys and the stomach and the lungs and all the things that are there, huge complexity, huge precision in design, and that is maintained consistently generation after generation after generation. There's just no ways that that can have come into existence in a random, unstructured process without a creative agency. It's also important to recognize that of the design of the structures and systems that I talked about evolves as engineers gain experience with designing, building, and operating them. I therefore assert that during the creative process, the Almighty Creator progressed in an evolutionary manner, progressively learning more and more about the systems and beings that he was creating. So if you look at the whole of what exists on Earth today, if you look at the whole universe, if you look at the solar system, I suggest for your consideration that when he started, the Almighty had never created such things. He had a vision of what he wanted, and he set about progressively creating it. So the reality is that there are potentially dozens, hundreds, maybe even thousands of other planets in the universe where he has at some level experimented with creating life and human beings, etc., and where it hasn't worked out. It's also so that he started creating with very basic one-cell organisms, and then more complex organisms, and then more complex plants, and then finally more complex animals and birds and fish. And each step of the way, learning how to build more sophisticated beings, and in the concurrently with that, learning how to build spiritual entities, and eventually coming to the place where he had worked it all out, and he was ready to create human beings. And so we are the end result of an evolutionary learning process. And most of what people who believe in evolution say is in fact correct, because we did develop in an evolutionary way. I then want to suggest that nature proves that there is a creator. Many people who do not believe in a creator nevertheless are enthusiastic about nature and seek to preserve nature. It is my contention that what we call nature, being the topography, diversity of plants, diversity of animals, etc., is indicative of a very sophisticated and highly creative agency that conceptualized, designed, assembled, and deployed all that we have called nature. I therefore suggest for your consideration that the marvelous thing, diversity of this thing we call nature, could only have come about through the intervention of a supernatural creative agency. So just look at everything around you. Look at the diversity of animals, the cats, the dogs, the various antelope, elephants, giraffe, rhinoceros, each one a discrete element, a discrete entity, the consequence of a very careful creative process to bring those into existence. The same with plants. A huge diversity of plants and flowers, etc., all individually discreetly conceptualized and assembled and designed and built in such a way that they continue with consistency generation after generation. And I ask you to really think about how all of those things could have come into existence without a creative agency who is extremely creative and with the real desire to create beautiful things. I suggest for your consideration, again, that nature came about in a structured evolutionary manner in which the most simple organisms were created first, with more and more sophisticated organisms and entities being created as experience was gained with the simpler organisms. This process potentially took place over thousands and possibly hundreds of thousands of years. Folks, again, part of why people believe in evolution without a creative agency is that they don't think about it. Part of it is in reaction to wrong thinking by Bible believers who say that all this was created in seven periods of 24 hours, when the Bible actually says that all of this was created in seven periods of indeterminate duration. And so turns out that people don't really believe in evolution. They believe against instantaneous creation. So there's a lot of what goes on that people are rejecting the wrong thinking of Bible believers and what the Father calls Bible thumpers, rather than actually looking at what's out there and saying, yes, clearly this all was created in an evolutionary manner, step by step, getting progressively more and more complicated. And there's lots of evidence that it has been created in an evolutionary manner. Then I want to suggest for your consideration that the human body proves that there is a creator. The human body is a massively complex system with overall complexity and sophistication way more complex than the most sophisticated and complex systems invented by human beings. In addition to this, it contains sophisticated mechanisms to allow it to replicate and create new human beings that are an exact merge of their parents. We take it for granted that there are dozens of medical and clinical specialities that are required to look after and maintain the human body when it fails to operate as expected, as a consequence of illness, abuse, or other dysfunction. Yet many people do not recognize the overarching intelligence necessary to create all of this. So what I'm saying to you folks is, if you've had any reason to consult medical specialists, if you've had any reason to be admitted to hospital and treated there, you will be aware of the fact that there is a wide diversity of medical practitioners and associated scientists and technicians that are required to fully look after every aspect or every facet of the human body. You may not be fully aware of that, but if you just consider the size of the average large university hospital and the number of departments that you have there, it's staggering, the number of different disciplines that are necessary. And that points to huge complexity. I just find it very difficult to understand how people can say that all of that complexity came about without a creator. We also take it for granted that human beings are perceived to be attractive in diverse ways in diverse cultures. How did that happen randomly? And again, we see that the creation of human beings took place in an evolutionary manner, with various animal forms, particularly apes, created progressively as the creator gained experience in getting to what he wanted to create. So again, this whole thing that everywhere we look, we see evidence of an evolutionary progression in the creation of things. None of this just happened at the click of a finger. None of this just happened instantaneously. None of this dropped from the sky. It was all meticulously, systematically designed and built, with one form following another, with greater elaboration, with greater sophistication, until eventually we get to human beings. And if you've ever done anything of a creative nature, if you've ever baked a cake or cooked a meal or made a garden swing for your children or basically done anything that's a bit creative, you will know that it's not trivial. If you've never used tools before, the first time you use a particular tool, it's challenging. It takes effort. And to look at the creative process that brought human beings, the whole universe, the animals, the plants, etc., into existence, it really just speaks of a very sophisticated, very clever, very effective creative agency. So I then want to suggest that the periodic table of the elements proves that there is a creator. And if you've never seen the periodic table of the elements, I would suggest you look for it on Google. You'll find plenty of text on it, or go directly to Wikipedia, where Wikipedia states, the periodic table, also known as the periodic table of elements, is a tabular display of the chemical elements which are arranged by atomic number, electron configuration, and recurring chemical properties. The structure of the table shows periodic trends. The seven rows of the table, called periods, generally have metals on the left and non-metals on the right. The columns, called groups, contain elements with similar chemical behaviors. Six groups have accepted names as well as assigned numbers. For example, group 17 elements are the halogens and group 18 are the noble gases. Also displayed are four simple rectangular areas or blocks associated with the filling of different atomic orbitals. The elements from atomic numbers 1, hydrogen, to 118, organosin, have all been discovered or synthesized, completing seven full rows of the periodic table. The first 94 elements, hydrogen to plutonium, all occur naturally, though some are found only in trace amounts, and a few were discovered in nature only after having been first synthesized. Elements 95 to 118 have only been synthesized in laboratories, nuclear reactors, or nuclear explosions. The synthesis of elements having higher atomic numbers is currently being pursued. These elements would begin an eighth row, and theoretical work has been done to suggest possible candidates for this extension. Numerous synthetic radioisotopes of naturally occurring elements have also been produced in laboratories. The organization of the periodic table can be used to derive relationships between the various element properties, and also to predict chemical properties and behaviors of undiscovered or newly synthesized elements. Russian chemist Dmitry Mendeleev published the first recognizable periodic table in 1869, developed mainly to illustrate periodic trends of the then known elements. He also predicted some properties of unidentified elements that were expected to fill gaps within the table. Most of his forecasts soon proved to be correct, culminating with the discovery of gallium and germanium in 1875 and 1886, respectively, which corroborated his predictions. Mendeleev's idea has been slowly expanded and refined with the discovery or synthesis of further new elements and the development of new theoretical models to explain chemical behavior. The modern periodic table now provides a useful framework for analyzing chemical reactions and continues to be widely used in chemistry, nuclear physics, and other sciences. Some discussion remains ongoing regarding the placement and categorization of specific elements, the future extension and limits of the table, and whether there is an optimal form of the table. So that's a very detailed description of the periodic table, and if you haven't come across it, I suggest that you look a bit on Google so you know more about what I'm talking about. As stated, the discovery of the full table of elements took place over many years as human beings gained more and more knowledge. So the periodic table is one of the key elements of what makes the entire creation possible. It required a highly sophisticated and highly visionary agency to create this before any matter could be created. On top of this, a massive diversity of compounds were created and continue to be created using these building blocks to give rise to all that is in the universe, from the most microscopic organism on Earth to the majesty of the planets in the universe. There is no way that this table could have come into existence in a random self-inventing process. There has to have been a highly intelligent and visionary creative agency. Note that the complexity of the universe, with millions if not billions of stars, planets, etc., is such that this certainly developed progressively over millions of years at the very least. So, folks, there's fairly wide acceptance of the concept of a Big Bang, that at some point in the past there was some huge conglomeration of material, and that somehow there was an explosion and this was fragmented and thrown out in all directions at great speed to form all the planets and the suns and the solar systems that exist. My point here is that in order to create that huge mass of matter, the periodic table needed to have been invented first, and the matter needed to be created with all the different elements in it. So not only just plain sort of rock and similar material, but water and gases and gold and huge, huge complexity. And that all had to be created before the Big Bang could occur. And then if the Big Bang, once the, you know, there had to be an agency to cause the Big Bang to happen and drive it all. I then want to suggest that air and water prove that there is a creator. As an extension of the previous point, there are a wide variety of molecules and compounds that are necessary for the universe, the solar system, this planet, plants, animals, and human beings to exist. Perhaps the most notable are air and water. About 60% of the human body is water, and water makes up a material component of all plants and animals. Without water, there could not be life, and without water, living organisms die. How did a random evolutionary process know to create water before it could create life? Frankly, I find the idea rather silly. It is my contention that there has to have been a creative agency with a clear view of where things were going in order to first create hydrogen and oxygen and then create water. Similarly, without air, virtually all plants and animals, and certainly human beings, could not exist. Note that air is a carefully balanced mixture of nitrogen, oxygen, carbon dioxide, water vapors, and some other gases. Note that oxygen on its own would be explosive, so careful thought went into the composition of air, and this had to be completed and air created in the atmosphere around Earth before any plants or animals, let alone human beings, could be created. Folks, I ask you to think about this. Every living thing contains water, and every living thing requires air to live. And the air and water had to be brought into existence and made available before any plant or animal could be brought into existence. Again, this speaks to a creator. Then I suggest that the diversity of foods proves there is a creator. We find ourselves with a huge diversity of plant and animal foodstuffs that we can consume, not just in order to exist, but in order to thrive and enjoy life. In some random evolutionary process, how would the plants and animals, while evolving in some random progression, know to create such a diversity of delightful tastes and textures and plant and animal components that human beings and animals might consume and enjoy, as well as finding them highly nutritious? This again speaks to the existence of a highly imaginative creative agency. Folks, think about it. If you are in the privileged position of having access to a modern supermarket, modern vegetable shop, there is a huge diversity of fruit and vegetables that's available to us, each with its own distinct, subtle flavor, texture, scent, aroma, and we find them all appealing and attractive and flavorsome and enjoyable. How did those fruits and vegetables and such, and they're also highly nutritious in terms of us surviving, how did they know to create all of those things so that we could enjoy them? There has to have been an integrated plan. Then domestic animals prove there's a creator. The existence of domestic animals, cattle for milk, beef and leather, sheep for meat and wool, chickens for eggs and meat, etc., not to mention domestic cats and dogs, all point to a creator who wanted to ensure the greatest diversity of provision for the human beings he was planning to create. So not only did he create a diversity of plants and fruits and so forth, he created a diversity of animals for us to eat, and then chickens and eggs. Why, you know, how did a non-intelligent creative or evolutionary process know to create chickens with eggs that are just of the right size and flavor, etc., for human beings to enjoy eating and receive sustenance from? How did they know to sheep's know to have wool so that we could weave warm clothing and so forth? Folks, it's really, the more you look at this, the more you think about it, I really suggest for your consideration that there has to have been a creative agency that conceptualized all these things, created all these things to make them work for us. And to suggest that these things just happened randomly through evolution over millions or billions of years, as I said just now, folks, it's really actually quite silly if you think about it. It's so obvious that there's been a creator involved in all of this, and that he loves us and he wants us to enjoy life and have a really special environment. Then planet Earth and the universe prove there's a creator. The complexity of the universe, this solar system, this planet, all point to a massive creative agency with a highly developed view of what was being created, such that the solar system and planet Earth operate in a stable and reliable environment in space that is suitable for this planet to have exactly the right atmosphere, the right gravitational field, etc., to support the diversity of life forms that exist on the planet. This did not happen randomly or by accident. It was clearly designed and executed over a very long period of time in an incremental, that is, evolutionary manner. Note that in the process of creating the solar system and this planet in an evolutionary experimental manner, it is entirely probable that there are other solar systems and planets which are similar to ours, some of which were created and discarded before our system was created, and others that may be in the pipeline in case this experiment fails. Folks, just the reality of Earth, this almost perfect sphere, suspended in space, orbiting the sun, another perfect sphere, consistent operation, consistent orbit, creating a very specific microclimate for life on Earth in a way that's stable and has been stable for thousands of years. And there's somebody holding this all together. There's somebody that's created all of this. It didn't just happen. Really, seriously, there's just no ways it just happened. And then I want to suggest that sexual reproduction proves there's a creator. The vast majority of animals and most of the more advanced forms of plants reproduce sexually. In other words, male reproductive organs produce male gametes, reproductive cells, which are transferred to the female reproductive organs where they fuse with the female gametes. This can be through sexual intercourse as in human beings and mammals, or it can be through forms of pollination by bees, wind, or other agencies, as in some types of plant or in other ways. In the case of butterflies and most insects, the male, adult male form of the butterfly fertilizes the female adult, then lays eggs. These eggs hatch and turn into caterpillars, which in turn pupate and form a chrysalis, which in turn time hatches into a butterfly. It is vital to recognize in all of these situations that this mechanism is a central component of ensuring that the species continues to exist and maintains its characteristics for innumerable generations. It's also vital to recognize that all components of the cycle have to work perfectly in order to produce the next generation, and therefore in order to ensure the continuation of the species. This being so, it is mechanically impossible for these plants and animals to have developed in an evolutionary, self-inventing manner. All components had to be created together, and all had to function effectively and reliably, else the species would die out at the first generation. Note that in the case of a bird's nest, it is necessary for the bird to know how to craft the nest, lay its eggs in the nest, and then sit on the eggs and incubate them. All of this requires enduring programming by the creator. This again points to a highly precise and highly inventive creative agency who created all of these components and made them function together. Folks, this is so, so important. If we look at human beings, which is presumably the form of reproduction that we have the most personal experience of, but it applies to pretty much all animals that we've spoken about and to most plants. The male and the female have to fit together mechanically perfectly. They need to stimulate each other in such a way that the male ejaculates into the female. The female has to position the eggs in her fallopian tubes so that fertilization can occur. The male gamete, the sperm, has to exactly match up with the female ovum, the egg, in such a way that they fuse when they come into contact with each other. And only one sperm can fuse with the ovum. And then that egg has to implant in the womb of the mother, and over 9 months progressively evolve, elaborate into a full-grown human being. And it does it repeatedly and has done so repeatedly over thousands of years so that human beings are recognizably human beings. Folks, this is a massively complex process, and it kind of self-invented itself because it all had to work perfectly. And until it worked perfectly, mankind or any of the plants or animals could not reproduce, and they would have died out. So I have to say to you that this points to a sophisticated creative agency. And then to take that a step further, particularly in the case of human beings and to some extent in other animals, or in animals, some animals, sexual lovemaking proves there's a creator. Sexual lovemaking manifests in some birds and animals and is highly pronounced in human beings. And in many birds and even some insects, there are courtship rituals before mating. In human beings, those who are moderately sensitive, who become romantically involved with another human being, experience an emotion that we call love, that can become extremely strong and intense, such that two people in love can communicate telepathically across great distances. The phenomenon of both partners sending a message on their mobile phones at exactly the same instant in time is an example. This phenomenon we call love is associated with sexual lovemaking and serves little or no purpose in a world where everything happens as a string of random stochastic evolutionary events. In such a world, there is no need and indeed no place for love, affection, etc. These are major spiritual forces that again point to the hand of a loving, imaginative, and creative genius who put this all together so that these intangible feelings and emotions would work in and through us. Folks, if you have ever been in love, man with a woman with a man, it's possible within the same gender as well, but let's focus on the most conventional form. You have an experience of something which is it's purely a value add to being a human. It's something that holds a man and a woman together. How did that come into existence? Just by cells becoming, it's just the biggest conception how people can think that that happened randomly over millions of years. And then at the risk of offending you, I want to suggest that the clitoris proves that there is a creator. Women and many female animals have a clitoris. This is an organ that serves no useful purpose except to stimulate intense sexual pleasure at a level that causes the female to desire sexual intercourse over and above what is required for reproduction, and in the human, sexual foreplay. The clitoris cannot have evolved. How did it know to exist to produce sexual pleasure? How did sexual pleasure know to exist? This certainly requires the involvement of a sensitive and creative agency intending to create a highly sophisticated being which enjoyed sexual lovemaking. Folks, sex is necessary for procreation and the continuation of the species. But sexual lovemaking in the way that is possible for human beings goes way beyond that. It's about giving and receiving intense pleasure in a way that bonds the man and the woman together, forms what's known as a one-flesh bond, creates love. And this organ was created purely with that in mind. There's no ways that that happened in a random, unplanned manner. I really ask you to look at that and say, if none of the other arguments I've given you, this one should, I hope, convince you. So I'll continue with this in the next broadcast. In closing, I would like to encourage you to seek a deep personal relationship with Yah, with the Almighty Creator, with your Father in Heaven. So if you're living a good life, seeking to be a good person, I have to tell you that that is not sufficient. In fact, on its own, it is worthless. What really matters is that you have a deep personal relationship with the Creator. Then it will help for you to be a good person. I encourage you to now step out and start to earnestly seek a deep personal relationship with the Creator. See the web page on the website Creator Desires Relationship, and also the article 7 Components of Drawing Close, and put that into practice. If you need any guidance, please do not hesitate to contact me at james@endtimeissueministries.org. Folks, the reason we're here, the reason that the Creator went to all the effort that we've just been discussing so that you and I could exist was for one reason and one reason only, and that was to have friends. Human beings exist to be friends of the Creator. They exist in order to talk to Him, to laugh with Him, to cry with Him, to do things with Him. He wants to help you in whatever line of business you're involved in, except if you're in something which is flagrantly against His commandments. But He wants to help you be the best you can be in your job. He wants to help you to invent methods and processes, etc., and grow. That's what you're here for. So I'd like to ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you are failing in your life purpose and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, this is, I really hope that through today's teaching, you have a deep revelation of the reality of the existence of the Creator. And I hope that you also have come to realize that there is only one possible reason that you and I exist, and that is to become His friends. And virtually nobody knows that. Virtually nobody attempts to become His friend. And by friend, I'm not talking about you just decided that He's your friend. He is your friend because He chooses to be friendly. The question is, are you His friend? Do you think about things the way He thinks about things? Do you understand His point of view? Do you look at things from His point of view, or do you still look at them from your point of view? You cannot become His friend until you understand what He thinks, until you see things His way. That is so important. And almost nobody today does that. So wrapping up, key documents and a video on the main menu web pages. There's a compendium of important articles. There's a video, Why Seek Relationship, article, Miracle of Yeshua's Death, The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, 7 Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, Recommended Worship, The Creator's Name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, Where Will You Spend Eternity, The Essence of My Message to Christians, Likewise to Jews, Likewise to Muslims, Likewise to Unbelievers, and so forth. All available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's End Time Issue Ministries, one word. Transcript of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show on the top menu and then podcasts, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 until May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. Those are PDFs that you can download. They're formatted for printing with covers and everything. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list, or to seek counsel or prayer, or to give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, and the article search to locate the information you're looking for. Folks, the Google search is particularly powerful. You've got a lot of the Google functionality located just on the website. So if you're looking for something on the website, use the Google search. There are over 1,000 web pages, over 1,000 articles. So there's a lot of information there if you start looking. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next broadcast. Currently, I'm not receiving any questions, so I'm not sure if there's a technical problem. So if you've submitted a question and I've not replied, please send it to the email below. And if you want to talk to me about anything I've spoken about, find out more, email me at james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make His enemies His footstool. Folks, I really want to stress that in order to become a friend of the Almighty, what's required is a decision on your part, an action on your part. I referred to the article, 7 Components of Drawing Close to the Almighty. Download that ebook. It's about 72 pages. Print it out and put it into practice. You can become a friend. It doesn't matter how old or how young you are. It doesn't matter how educated or uneducated you are. It doesn't matter how rich or poor you are. It doesn't matter where you live in the world. It doesn't matter whether you're fat or thin. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white. It doesn't matter your race, your tribe, None of that matters. You can become his friend. Good night. Father, I